The old school bell tells us that it's time for session number 18 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by a worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. on Sundays. We also have a Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we're doing in this school is allowing ourselves to be taught by E.A. Elam, who was a great gospel preacher in his day, and he wrote a number of Sunday school lessons that were printed by the Williams Printing Company, and I have a copy of those lessons that were prepared for the Sunday schools of 1922. I'm on lesson 8 that he had prepared for February 19th, 1922. And if you want to get your Bible, you can follow along somewhat if you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 27. And it's the story of Elisha and Naaman the Syrian. That's 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 through 27. And we're in the middle of this lesson, so let me give you a quick review. You see, Naaman was a great man in Syria, a general, a soldier man, and in responsibilities for the armies of the Syrian army. But he was a leper, and he had come to Elisha hoping that Elisha could cure him of his leprosy. Well, Elisha sent his servant out to Naaman and told him to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, that is not what Naaman expected the prophet to do. He thought he'd come out and wave his hands over him and do some kind of incantations or something maybe, or do some wonderful, fabulous thing, and to go humble himself and to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, Naaman's reaction to that was one of anger. He didn't want to do what the prophet said. So he came to the prophet as a leper, and he left the prophet as an angry leper. Now, that anger wasn't doing him any good, and his servant realized that. And a servant came to him and convinced him he really needed to do what the prophet said. And that's where this lesson takes off. I'm going to begin reading in this printout of these lessons. It's page 62, and this is actually the 7th division of this lesson, and it is called The Servant's Reasoning. Let's listen to what old Brother Elam had to say about this. Here it is. To pacify him and to persuade him to obey God, his servants came near and said to Naaman, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?" Naaman was worldly great, and had a mind on great things, and had brought a great present to him who should heal him. He entirely overlooked the simplicity of God's way. Many today make the same grievous mistake in overlooking the simplicity of the gospel and the plain, humble worship of God therein revealed, and desire to do some great thing. The simplicity of this requirement and the ease with which it could be done appealed to Naaman's servants, and there were reasons for doing it. The servants understood that, after all, God must do the healing, and he could do it on simple and easy terms as well as on those which commended themselves to human wisdom. The worldly wise and great do not now appreciate and receive the humble and simple order of God's service. Hence, well, Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called the worldly great. Not many of them become Christians. That's 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. Section 8. The faith which obeys saves. Naaman was led to see the wisdom of his servants, to lay aside his anger, to believe what God's prophets had said, and to obey God. Hence he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We all know who healed Naaman, and that, as he argued, there was no power in the waters of Jordan to heal the leprosy, yet he must obey God before he could be healed. Dipping 7 times in the Jordan stood between him and a cure. To refuse to obey God in this simple requirement was to refuse to be healed. Since there was no curative power in what he did, no power to heal him, it was not of works, but by grace through faith. He had no faith at all to begin with, but he was persuaded to reason about the matter and to exercise sufficient faith to obey God. The obedience increased his faith, and he became a true worshiper of God, as the sequence shows. This all seems clear indeed, yet it is no plainer than the necessity of obedience to God now in order to be saved. Christ says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:15-16. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins," Acts 2:38. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. "Even as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you to will and to work for his good pleasure," Philippians 2:12-13. "Since then there is no saving powers in the waters of baptism, one is baptized, as Naaman dipped in the Jordan, through faith in God, and hence the blessing received through this obedience is not of works, but by grace through faith." Seeing that he was healed, Naaman returned from the Jordan 30 miles to express his gratitude and to reward the prophet of God. He confessed his faith in the God of Israel and offered Elisha the present he had brought. Elisha refused the gift for the favor bestowed. He could not receive pay for the gifts of God. Though rich and great, Naaman must stand as a beggar before God, before whom the rich and the poor are on a common level, and receive his blessing upon the same conditions. This shows the impartiality and justice of God. Then Naaman begged 2 mules burdened of earth to carry back with him to Syria, of which to make an altar on which to offer sacrifices to God. God would not accept an offering from an unclean altar, and Syria was an unclean country. These gifts of Naaman appealed to the covetousness of Gehazi and were a means of bringing out his real character. He acted a hypocrite, lied, and was guilty of treason. As a punishment for such sins, the leprosy of Naaman came upon him, and he went out from Elisha's presence, a leper, white as snow. Well, that's the end of that lesson about Elisha and Naaman. The next lesson, Elam wrote for February 26, 1922. This is Lesson 9 for the 9th Sunday of that year. The title of this lesson is Elisha's Heavenly Defenders. You may read about this in 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. The text for the lesson printed in this little book is 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. And I'll read that now. If you have your Bible, follow along. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. Now the king of Syria was warring against Israel, and he took counsel with his servant, saying, In such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are coming down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there not once nor twice. And the king of Israel was Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to him, Will you not show me which of us is for this king of Israel? And one of his servants said, Nay, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and see where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host with horses and chariots was round about the city. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That reading comes from the American Revised Version that was copyrighted in 1901, commonly called the American Standard Version. The golden text for this lesson is found in Psalm 34 in verse 7. The angel of Jehovah encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The time in which this lesson took place is estimated to be 893 B.C. Here's the introduction. All the wonderful works of Elisha are not studied in these lessons. We can learn them all by reading the lesson connections. Let us learn from Elisha's work as well as those of Christ and the apostles that faith, in order to lead to the blessings of God, must be manifested. Naaman must dip 7 times in the River Jordan as an expression of his faith, because God directed that it be done. Whenever God gives laws and specific acts of faith to be performed, these must be obeyed before he blesses. As looking at the brazen serpent, Numbers 21, 7 through 9, or washing the blind eyes in the pool of Siloam, John 9, 6 and 7. The 10 lepers that Christ healed were not commanded to dip 7 times in the Jordan, but were healed in doing that which Jesus commanded them to do, going to show themselves to the priest, Luke 17, 11 through 19. When no acts of faith were specified, God blesses in the presence of inspired persons, prophets, apostles, and Christ, upon voluntary acts of faith, is the raising of the Shunammite son, raising Jairus' daughter, healing the paralytic in such events as that. Now the explanatory notes follow. We're going to talk about disobedience and punishment. Elisha saves Israel. The king of Syria troubled, an effort to stop the trouble, how God saved Elisha, and Elisha's treatment of his enemies. But that'll have to wait for another class time. And so this session is coming to an end. And as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.